want to welcome everybody to this month's episode of The Green Side. The Green Side is a collaboration between the Hackers Paradise and PutterZone.com, and is kind of a radio show all about the short game in and around the greens with a heavy emphasis on putters. I want to bring in my co-host with me each and every episode, and that is Sean from PutterZone. How are you?
Doing great, Josh. Since we last spoke, I had a new logo developed for PutterZone.com, and it makes me feel kind of minty fresh. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
Well, I don't know how minty fresh feels. It sounds actually kind of painful in all the wrong places, but I did see the new logo. I think it looks great, and I look forward to seeing more branding with it done.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, people check it out and let me know what you think, if I should keep it or go back to the old one.
We will definitely put that out there and see what the listeners have to say. It's been a long month since we last talked in the form of news, and I figured we should kick it off with a little stuff going around on tour, and starting with last week, Gary Woodland. I mean, the guy was putting lights out, and I know you had a couple of stats from, you know, the final round for his win.
Yeah, this dude, he sank 17 of 17 putts from 20 feet and inside on Sunday.
You know, we talk about that when we go to play golf, about, you know, sinking putts and, you know, how you got to make the 6 and 8 footers to really, you know, change your scoring round. And there's been stats around that, you know, if a pro were to make every putt from 5 feet and in, how he'd do in a tournament. But 17 of 17 inside of 20 feet is astonishing.
Yeah, and he only had 10 putts on the back nine.
That's incredible. And I watched that round, and it wasn't as if it was one of those rounds where the guy, you know, a touring pro misses every green, chips on close and makes his putt, because that can skew stats a little bit. It's just he was making everything in sight.
Yeah, and I saw a quote from a story which I thought was interesting, because they noted that he also hit a drive 337 yards, and they said, you know, and I thought this was apropos, this is the future of golf, my friends. Brute strength with touch on the greens, and boy, he epitomized that. That's for sure.
Yeah, that pretty much sums up the entire final round there. He looked really impressive. Lots of other tour news going on. Going back a couple of tournaments, we saw everybody's favorite speed golfer Rory Sabatini putting in a new tour ghost and basically putting lights out with it as well.
Yeah, and there was kind of some drama with that putter, and it sort of got held up in transition. He'd requested a custom tour ghost, and due to bad weather, it got hung up on the delivery truck out of state, and it only arrived like with minutes to go before the pro-am portion of the tournament started. So, you know, it was brand new in his hands. He'd had virtually no time to practice with it, and on Sunday, he was in the winner's circle.
Ironically, he has not switched out yet, so that's that's good. No, he put really well with it. The Tour Ghost putters seem to be making really big waves, and rightfully so with the new technology that they've put in there that they discuss. Speaking of ghosts, there's been some sightings here and there and rumors floating around that we will be seeing the next evolution of the Spider line in terms of the ghosted Spider.
Yes, that's a real chocolate and the peanut butter moment, isn't it?
It really is. I actually expected TaylorMade with their line of putters, and we discussed this last week, how, you know, they've eliminated a lot of the different names from Rasa and all the other sides of it, that they'd go with the two lines, similar to Burner and the R series, with the Ghost series and the Spider series. But it looks like they're going to blend that a little bit, and we'll see the ghosted Spiders that a lot of people have been requesting.
I thought the Spider had been mothballed, to mix metaphors or whatever they say.
You know, I think that when we saw the Bolero, which was early in 2010, I believe, maybe even late 2009.
Yeah, I think it was that.
It did not do well, and I actually kind of agreed with you, because it went Spider, you know, Spider Mini, then the Bolero, and it didn't do well. But the last evolution, the Vecino, was extremely popular. And I thought, in my personal opinion, the best out of the entire Spider lot. Again, that's very subjective, but I thought the impact feel and the weighting was absolutely perfect. And now to see that they're going to go to, you know, ghosting it, so to speak, I think it's intriguing.
Yeah, I was just surprised. I guess I been so focused on the ghost line, and that's really all I'd heard from them for about a year, I thought, well, they've just moved everything in that direction, and lo and behold, here we go. They have a veritable haunted house of putters now, of spiders and spider ghosts. And
yeah, it truly is, and very good analogy. I guess analogy is not really the right word, but we'll stick with it. speaking of putters molding and evolution and changing direction, so to speak, one company that we've discussed previously that's gone a completely different direction launched their new custom series, and that's Never Compromise with the MyCustomPutters.com. Have you had a chance to play around with the website?
Yeah, I'm blown away.
Yeah, it's...
I mean the bar has been raised, and it's a very impressive. If you, anyone listening out there, if you haven't checked it out, you got to just at least play around with it just for the sheer joy of seeing your ideas come visually together in real time.
Yeah, you know, I mean, custom putters are nothing new. Let me start with that. You know, different paint fills here and there have been going on for a number of years, but the real time decisions that can be made and the tweaking of it and the changing of it on the website.
And the sheer variety of options on like the paint fill. I mean, it's like, do you want to have this little tail, this color or that color?
Yeah. And
this part of the putter, this color or that color.
And the part that got me was I'm pretty lazy, and the amount of work it eliminated for me the day it went live was staggering. I got absolutely nothing done because I found myself creating putters all day long.
Yeah, very. Like you say, customization has come on strong in recent years, and we're seeing more and more options. But I haven't quite seen something like this where you have so many options and you can immediately choose for them and see them. That is new.
That is new. And one of the things that, you know, I should point out is – while everybody's talking about the cosmetic changes that are being done to the putter before your eyes, and it's incredible to look at that, I should point out that there's more than that. Changing the lie angle, changing the length, changing the grip, all these things can be done, and they change right before your eyes, and you can pretty much just click submit. The part that I find even more astronomical and incredible is the putter has a price point of $299, which I felt was a pretty good deal to begin with to keep it at that lower price range, considering they are limited versions and limited edition putters. But when you go through all your customizations and everything, the price, I thought it would double, and it really didn't. Most of the ones I looked at, it went up to $349 after all the custom options, and I was like, wow, I expected more.
Yeah, that's one thing I didn't take it all the way to that point, and I saw sort of $350 is the base price for customization. I imagine there are a few options if you're looking for something really unique that it may cost a little more than that.
It might. Like I said, all the options I picked gave me that $349 price range.
And that is phenomenal. I mean, for $50 extra to be able to do that much to your putter, I mean, that's...
Yeah, so again, if you haven't gone there yet, check out www.mycustomputters.com. It's really worth it. If nothing else, you'll kill off your entire work day because it's enjoyable.
And we each got one ourselves.
Yeah, and I want to expand on that. When they come, it's not like any golf club you've ordered in the past. They come in a beautiful box. First of all, whoever does their corrugated boxes needs a pat on the back because they look incredible. And then you open it up, and the attention to detail was amazing. Not just how the putter turned out, but the fact that there were, you know, the head cover is your choice. There's a hat in there. There's a deck of cards in there. And the little foam that holds the clubs, and everybody's seen this, it's that same gray foam that, you know, you get when you order clubs and they arrive. When you look closely at it, it has like a velvet touch to the top of it. They even went as far as making the presentation that much nicer. In fact, so much that with all the golf stuff I have around THPHQ, I actually saved the box. So.
I did too, and I'm going to run out of superlatives here, but I was just the same, blown away. I'm like, wow, from a branding and marketing perspective, and really just to put it all together like that, I mean, it must have been an incredible undertaking to bring all of this together into such sort of a seamless, impressive package, physically and both and online as well. You know, hats off. It just, like I said, the bar has been raised.
So here's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
You received your custom putter, and I assume you customized it to the specs that you like.
I did.
Will you be playing it?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Mine went in the bag immediately.
I'm going to make this work, you know, whether or not it does. That's how much I love it.
Yeah. I mean, I was able to go in and spec mine out completely, just like everybody else can do. You go to the website, you pick your length, your lie, the grip you like and everything else, and then it has, you know, my name on it. It has the THP colors on it and everything else. It went right in the bag. How could it not? I love the putter to begin with, and now it's a little personalized. And
yeah, and we had the advantage of trying out all the different models in advance and spending time with them. And I spent a lot of time with the model I ultimately chose, which was the Royal. So, you know, I know it works for me, and so that certainly just adds to my rush to put it in the bag.
Agreed. Now, while we're on the subject of putters and putting them in the bag, another brand kind of went in the opposite direction of Never Compromise over the last, you know, 3 or 4 months, 6 months really. You know, Never Compromise made that big change to make a go of the high-end limited edition putters, and we both agree that we think they hit a home run, while another company was going in the opposite direction, and that was Yes. And, you know, it's been much written about, and we don't need to get into, you know, all the specifics about where they went or what happened, but they've made a rebound in that Adams Golf has purchased them, and that they're going, the rumors have it that within the next month or so, you'll be seeing a new line from Adams and Yes. And what are your thoughts? I mean, in the past, Yes was a very polarizing putter. Some people loved the C-Groove technology. They were kind of pioneers in that aspect of the groove technology in many ways. And Adams, their putter line had always been kind of looked at as like with the A7s with the yellow insert. It was a lesser putter. I don't mean lesser quality-wise. I mean it was less expensive, more of a mass-produced line. What do you think they'll do with the Yes putters and Adams?
I don't know what they'll do, but I know what I think they should do.
Enlighten us.
Yeah. I think that they should just keep the Yes brand, keep it separate. We talked about that, not trying to mix and match too many brands. I think that Yes is a brand that people recognize. Keep that separate like Callaway does with Odyssey, number one. Number two, keep the C-Groove technology. It's a signature. I don't think you have a Yes putter without it. And I think that it certainly doesn't hurt and very well could help. So those are two, I think, cornerstone aspects of what I consider Yes that I think should remain in place. And then from there, I would really love them to whittle down the offerings from what Yes historically has offered. They just seem to be scatter shooting. And you would go on the website or go in a store and there were just all these models. And they weren't in tiers or categories, and I felt a little lost when I surveyed the landscape of Yes putters. And there were some fantastic putters in there. The Yes Dawn putter was amazing. But they need to kind of, I think, narrow it down and clarify exactly what putter is in what tier of Yes. Maybe they just start with one tier, like Never Compromise with its Gambler. Right now, and just keep it simple, and then add another tier. But they used to, the price points and everything was just a big jumble. They were all Yes putters with female names from $299 down to whatever, and it didn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And one of the reasons that I look at that is, and I could be way off base here, but I always thought Yes fans were a enthusiastic bunch. And like other companies with drivers and irons, the Yes putter fans really flock to the new models every year. And I'm purely speculation here, but I often wonder if that's why they put out the next lines as frequently as they did without erasing the previous lines. So when you went on their website, it was crazy. It was like looking at one of those books where new parents try to pick out the kid's name. Because there was like 40 putters listed there, and it made it really hard. There was the Donna and you know the Morgan and the Molly, and I could be here for days. I like the idea of shrinking the line.
Or categorize them as mallets and blades, or high end and affordable, or
yeah,
do something.
That's another thing I was going to say is maybe add a little more organization to it. that's intriguing to me. I always thought that with the Jim Furyk thing, you know, when he put one in the bag, it was kind of polarizing on whether or not it would help or not, because on one hand, it showed that, wow, he picked up a putter right off the rack and ended up winning with it. On the other hand, it showed, God, that was a $300 putter 2 years ago and he picked it up for $39. So what does that say about the world of golf equipment? But I think this is a chance for a rebrand for both Adams and Yes. And
absolutely.
That Adams can actually enter as a full-line equipment company, which they've been, but kind of overlooked in some aspects, specifically wedges and short game and putters. But with their new wedges and the launch of the Yes line, I think it could be a really, really good look at what's coming, especially if they could get some of their tour pros using it.
Yeah, I hope they keep it simple. Like when Slotline sort of relaunched and rebranded, I think they were a little aggressive too in how many putters they put out there. At least they were tiered and organized, so they had that going for them. So what I expect them to do, or hope that they'll do, is there were some awesome putters in that Yes line, and I think go in there, keep the Seagroove, keep sort of the inherent brand equity and technology. But pick and choose the best of what was already in there and re-energize it. And I think if they do that, they'll have a winner on their hands.
I would agree with you absolutely 100%. Now, earlier you mentioned another putter company, and that was Callaway and Odyssey, and how they've kept it separate in theory. and one of the things that we've been discussing on the THP website forum quite a bit are inserts. And you and I have done a show on inserts and how most people hear the word insert, they immediately think of Odyssey or a rubber or plastic or polymer type of insert, and how different inserts, you know, mean, you know, can do different things. But one of the things that I kind of wanted to address this week and really get your opinion on are Odyssey inserts. Because again, when people think insert and putter, they immediately think of Odyssey. The putting purists have their own thoughts on it and say that it's artificial, or, you know, a putter is only a putter if it's milled out of a block of steel, whatever type of steel that may be. But Odyssey inserts are so polarizing. And now they have, you know, multiple different lines of inserts with different feels, such as white ice and white hot. What are your thoughts overall of the Odyssey insert line?
Well, to some degree, you can't argue with success. And I think they are polarizing, which isn't the worst thing necessarily, particularly if you have enough people on your polar side of the universe. Overall, I'm not drawn personally to inserts. It's just sort of, I don't know what, maybe I didn't grow up with them, and I have this sort of fascination with metal and pure metal. So personally, I'm not drawn to them, but I know the lengths that they go to as a company to fine-tune everything in terms of the feel and feedback of those inserts. And they put a tremendous amount of effort in research into that. And like I said, they've been successful. So on that front, I would say, you know, bravo to Odyssey.
Let me ask you this.
They keep refining and reinventing, you know, these inserts. And I don't know. I haven't put them side by side enough to know, you know, all the little nuances, but I don't think it's just hokum. I think they really are trying to create a feel and a feedback that, while synthetic in nature, is quite helpful to a lot of golfers.
Let me ask you this: like you said, you're fascinated with metal and things like that, and that we always hear this term when describing the purest putters that are, you know, forged and milled from carbon steel, that they have this incredibly soft feeling, and that people, you hear the same thing. I need a buttery, which is the word associated with this the most, which I also find fascinating. Buttery soft feel. But yet when you give them an insert, which has even a softer feel, they decline. Why do you think that is?
I think a lot of it's psychological. I think if you close your eyes and you don't know what you're putting with, it makes it even harder.
Plug your ears and does it too.
Yeah, blindfold and plug your ears. And, you know, I think there's a lot of psychology, but I wouldn't underestimate it or diminish that aspect. You have to love your putter, I think, to want to practice with it and to want to develop a relationship with it. And if you're just not drawn to that, or you think you're feeling something that you'd rather not feel, even if it's just a psychological aspect of thinking that just because it has an insert, it has this or that feel. I wouldn't diminish that, but I would say that there is, like you say, a little room for standing back and not trying to just say an insert is this or an all metal putter is that. I don't think it's that simple.
Yeah, I don't either. I always look at it and you do hear it's, oh my God, I love XYZ putter because it's this carbon steel and it has this buttery soft feel. And then you hand them let's say an Odyssey White Hot number one, exact same shape that they had been using, you know, an answer style plumber's neck, and they'll frown upon that. Yet I can guarantee you that it will have a softer feel, of course, due to that polymer insert. But I understand that the purists. I just wish maybe in a sense of honesty, people would say, I just don't like inserts. They're artificial. I want the purest of the pure because it's an artist that created mine.
That's more my take on it.
You know,
I guess I'm being honest.
I guess I'm the opposite of the putter snob in certain ways.
Is that what you're calling me?
No. And I'm not and I don't mean to call anybody out. That's not what this was about. I'm always fascinated with that when you hear I picked up this handmade thing and it's got the most buttery soft feel I've ever had, and I feel like saying, have you never tried an insert putter? Because I can guarantee you it's going to have a softer feel. Whether or not you like the softer feel, that's one thing. But just hearing that, well, this one's got the softest feel ever, that's why I love it. I don't believe that. Now, some people may love just the contact and sound of metal hitting a ball. That's something totally different.
It is. And I wouldn't say all of the inserts are super soft or softer than
no,
metal.
No, not at all. Either. I was referring strictly to the Odyssey.
Yeah, and I do think even within the Odyssey line, you have all of these different head shapes, and I think there are different acoustics and different rebound factors or whatever you would want to call it. I don't know what all the technical terms are, but you can have the same insert or the same face or the same metal on a putter. You start playing around with the shape, going from blade to mallet and high MOI putters, and the feel and the feedback can change significantly from one to the next. So there are a ton of factors that go into the totality of feel and feedback.
Agreed.
And so it's not like I'm hostile to inserts. I'm just not drawn to them. I do putt sometimes with putters with inserts, and I have to test a lot of them out, and it's oftentimes a very wonderful experience.
Well, that's always, you know, what you're looking for in a putter is, you know, to assist you, not to, you don't want to have a putter that you have to, that it's a constant struggle to get online and everything else. And I think with technology really going into the putter market more and more, we're finding that that technology really can play a role, you know, coming from the old weighting that was so similar for so many years. And, you know, we can credit the Ping Answer for changing a lot of that, at least, you know, in shape and everything. But moving weight around, moving styling around and changing things has really changed how people can, you know, put the roll on the ball and have a putter assist them, especially with fitting in today's standards. Now, my question to you is, as a putter purist, that's the best way I could describe you, because you've tried them all. You like a lot of different things about everything, but you are a purist through and through.
Or a snob.
No, I wouldn't call it a snob. that's a word that comes to mind when you discuss equipment. It's like the Ricky Barnes commercial with the guy hacking it up with blades, and then he hands him the DI-11s. He's like, Wilson Staff, seriously? And he's like, seriously, and it works. But that's a whole other topic for another show. If you were on the putting green and you found yourself making more putts with an insert, would you immediately still go back to your other putter, or would you consider to use the insert?
That's something I struggle with all the time, and it sounds insane, but I have a hard time going to really untraditional shapes, even though they might help me. And I probably don't stick around with them long enough to see how much they might help me. So I try and separate out sort of the professional aspect of running putterzone.com and reviewing all these putters, and just sort of my personal leanings. You know, do you like red wine or white wine? And so even purist, I'm not sure is the right term for it, but it's just, it's sort of what I'm innately drawn to. But can I justify it? Can I make a case for it? Is it is it logical? I can't really answer those questions. I just know that I'm looking at this gambler custom on the floor right now, and I'm just like, yeah, I got to.
You have it on the floor. Mine's in a display case. No, I'm just kidding.
well, on the carpet, I should say. It's not laying around getting kicked around by the cat or the kid or anything. But
so it's in the end,
right here, I'm just like, you know, at the end of the day, I want to be looking at this putter. I want to be playing with this putter, and part of that is the all milled classic styling. And that's just who I am, and maybe I should be playing with a Odyssey Dart backstrike. I don't know.
Well, and your honesty is refreshing, of course. And you know, in the end, you and I both use a milled putter from a block of metal. Neither one of us are putting with an insert putter right now. I just found it curious, and it was an interesting topic. Well,
yeah, and I know one thing I wanted to mention too is Odyssey has gone to great lengths to dial in the audio feedback of their insert. And I think that's where they really have led the charge. A lot of people have inserts in their putters and polymers and things like that. But Odyssey's inserts really have a lot of technology in them to give you that audio feedback. So even if the putter feels soft, you've got sufficient audio feedback. And there's a lot of stuff that goes into ensuring that. And I find that intriguing and impressive about what they've done with their inserts. It's not just about the tactile sensation of the insert, but it's the totality of the tactile and the audio. And they've done different things with the layering of materials and stuff like that too. So you can have a soft feel, but it doesn't just disappear in the ears.
Well, that's intriguing. We're certainly going to have to chat about that more, the audible side of feel. That wraps up our show this month. And for Sean at PutterZone.com and myself, Josh, at TheHackersParadise.com, we have a saying here we like to sound off with, and that is, don't fear the greens, conquer them. Goodbye, everybody.